There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
John Ifterios joins us on the line. John, good to talk to you, sir.
Good. I'm in Muscat tonight. Can I send a voice as opposed to a text in for those tickets?
You can. You're not allowed to do it now. We'll have to do it off air, unfortunately, in the interests of impartiality. It's going to be some show. So it is. Hugely popular. Yeah. John, let me ask you, you're in Muscat, you're at the UN World Tourism Organization meeting, incredibly important to the region. What's the thrust of this particular meeting, though?
Well, this is interesting. It's almost the trifecta. It's about developing the sector, tying in sustainability in terms of the environment, so you don't overbuild and regard the environment around you, and then making the link between development, tourism, and culture itself. So when I say trifecta, the development approach, sustainability, along with using the cultural heritage of a country and linking it to tourism, which means sustainability over the long run. And it's interesting, in the Middle East, Tim, you know, we had such a shock in some of these countries, kind of in the post-Arab Spring environment and the correction in energy prices. But 2017 has been really generous with some of the countries and some standing out. But North Africa overall, for example, through the first 9 months of 2017, tourism visitors were up 15%. So it's pretty impressive, actually. Where I'm sitting in Oman, up 18%, Bahrain 13% higher, Lebanon and Jordan, which suffered a great deal because, if you note, the corrections that they had due to the lack of security in those countries, up 12 and 11%. So after you have a period of stability, the confidence comes back. They get more competitive in the pricing. And then you have a destination like Dubai, which never is down. It continues to grow from a very high base, grew another 8% in 2017. So by and large, throughout the Middle East, it's been really positive, with the exception of Saudi Arabia, again, because of some of the uncertainty around it in transition, and Qatar because of the economic embargo. They went down double digits. But overall in the region, I mean, we're looking at a gain of 5% for the Middle East and North Africa, 15% for North Africa coming from a low base. So as you suggested, very important, the ripple effect on jobs, revenues, receipts. And now this idea here at the conference is to look at how you can bring the culture together with tourism and then maintaining the SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals, within the UN structure.
Well, I suggested it's so important regionally, which it is, of course, John, but clearly tourism's so important internationally. Is this growth, these kinds of numbers, what we're seeing, is a general trend worldwide?
Not in the double digits, but generally, and they were averaging 4 or 5% for the last few years. I mean, they clocked in 7% for the first 9 months of 2017. So that's almost double the global growth rate, which is projected at 3%. So tourism is doing well. Interesting, Africa up 9% as a continent. And it's an interesting number. We're almost approaching a billion travelers through the first 9 months of the year. It was over 900 million passengers and overnight stays in these countries around the world. So it's a sweet spot right now. Global growth is not shocking. 3.7% is not outstanding, but consumer spending is up. And then after you've seen the dislocation of some of the countries, Tim, it's fantastic to see that despite all the dislocation that was happening in North Africa, that if you put the right kind of offer together, you provide some stability after a turbulent window of time, that the tourism sector will come back. I think what's fascinating, which stood out for me, the United States was up only 3%. So I'm not sure if it has to do with the kind of the political nature and transition, or just more attractive destinations elsewhere, people looking for something they don't know. And the growth rate globally is more than double the rate of growth in the tourism sector in the United States.
John, one story I did want to ask you about, we're a little bit short of time, I want to move straight on to this, if we can, is the story of the Da Vinci painting, Salvatore Mundi. I'm guessing you've been following what's happening there?
I have been, and it's not an easy story to follow because there's a lot of different messages coming out. So let's see if we can be clear. It's being acquired, as we know now, by the Louvre Abu Dhabi. Mm. What is the definition of being acquired? Does it mean you made the purchase or not? And that's still not clear. We heard that it was Prince Badr bin Abdullah, which is a strain of the royal family that has never been involved in art, and it looks like he was a proxy. Now, according to kind of the New York Times reporting on this, a proxy for the Crown Prince, the Wall Street Journal kind of reached out to the Central Intelligence Agency in the United States. There's no way it could have been Prince Bader. It was a proxy, and then we see over the weekend that it's being acquired now, and we don't know if it meant purchased by the Abu Dhabi Tourism and Culture Ministry. It's a coup, no matter the way that you look at it. A $450 million plus painting getting into the Louvre after just a month of opening the doors here. It is one of the last Da Vinci paintings, the most expensive paintings in the world. It was restored with a little bit of controversy because it sat in very bad storage since 2005, and it's kind of up to global standards again. And something that's obviously going to pull in visitors. But I think it goes deeper, Tim, to the relationship of now, the new, deeper relationship between Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. You know, they struck this security and economic alliance, even within the GCC structure, bilateral relationship. We know those ties and what it means in Yemen, for example, and in the regional context. But this takes it into a different sphere, and I think it's a sphere of culture. And in fairness, Louvre Abu Dhabi didn't say we bought it. They said we acquired it to show it. It's going to be a phenomenal showcase of the other European masters that came with the Louvre agreement. And they think it's a game changer, is how they describe it, and some of the tweets that we saw over the weekend. But it's fascinating to see how the story has evolved, because we were chasing the story down, talking to the different sources. Christie's was reluctant to say who actually the buyer was. But it appears to be a proxy, because the Crown Prince didn't want to put his name on it, but something he wanted to display at the Louvre Abu Dhabi, which I think is a story that people overlooked. Why was Saudi Arabia eager to do so? And I think it goes back to that partnership that we were talking about, something we would understand in the region, less so globally, but I think it's worth something to underline going forward for sure.
It is. It is that anchor piece, isn't it, for the Louvre, John? There's no doubt about that.
Have you been yet, by the way?
I haven't been yet. Have you been?
Yes, I went on the kind of VIP weekend, the second day of the opening. Right. And it's a marvel. I mean, I had a chance, 1 square meter, one of the segments that I do, a year ago, so before the structure was done. And then you go in and it's like, wow, it is kind of does take your breath away. I don't know, I don't want to run against time on you here, but it's fascinating because it goes through a timeline of history, shared religions, which I think was really prescient to be able to do that here in the UAE and illustrate it through for the world. They went on to the Silk Road and the connections between the Middle East stretching to China, and then they finish off with the European Masters. It's fantastic, but you can't do it in one visit. There's different layers, and it deserves a lot of time. And Jean Nouvel, I've got to say, it's a beautiful structure. It's on the water, which is quite controversial with the art. Mm-hmm. But they say it's robust. It will stand the test of time, as they say.
John Defterios in Muscat at the moment. Back in the UAE next week, John.
Take care. Nice to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, John. Thanks for coming on.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.